105, Psalm 105. Man, that's pretty good. Amen. I like that. I like that. Tell you what, man, that's the first time I've seen certain people do certain things. Amen. I think the Lord shows up just to watch that too. Amen. But man, that's been a while since some of them shouted and ran and did some things. Amen. So, amen. It's always a blessing to be around that, man. I tell you, it's hard being right here right now. So, Psalm 105, and man, that's just good. Good sweet spirit this morning. Good spirit in the church this morning, man. It just really making me bubble up too. Psalm 105, the Bible says there, beginning verse number 16, "Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, and even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham." I will stop reading there, but I want to call your attention here to the portion of scripture here talking about Joseph. And we preached on him the other morning. I want to preach on him again this morning. But my thought here, notice the verses here. The Bible says about Joseph, the Bible says here that if you look there in verse number 6:17, the Bible says he sent man before them and talks about Joseph there being sold as a servant. There's a time when his brethren hated him and they messed him up and despised him, threw him to the pit. The Ishmaelites came, and the Bible says they sold him. And the Bible says his feet, they hurt with fetters. They shackled his feet. But you know what he did? He just kept right on walking. And that's what I want to preach to you this morning. Just keep walking. Brother and sister, this morning, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through. But I want to encourage you. Just keep walking. Say, "Oh, brother, I got this going on in my life. I got that going on." I know. Just keep walking. You say, "What's the solution for my situation?" Just keep walking. Young people, you say, "Man, what are we going to do? Man, I'm here at this area of my life and I got to do it." What do you do? Just keep walking. I mean, that's all we can do. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I want to encourage you this morning to just keep walking. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. And Father, I pray for your blessing this message, and I thank you, Lord, for just showing out and stirring up this morning, Lord. And man, it's sure good to be around, Lord God, when your presence is real, Father. And sure good just to see your people rejoice and enjoy you, Father. Lord, that Lord just thrills my soul, dear God. Thank you for what you put in my heart, Lord. And God, I pray now for your help, be able to preach, dear God. May I not quench your spirit and what you're wanting to do. And I pray you get the honor and glory out of this, Father. Have your way now. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Help me, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, I want to preach on this thought. Like I said, just keep walking. You think about this, Joseph. I don't know how far it was from where he was to going down to Egypt, miles wise. But I mean, just to get there, he had to walk. I mean, they didn't live in the days of the cars and whatnot like we do. Amen. They didn't have a bus to get on. I'm pretty sure since he was a slave, he wasn't allowed to ride any beast of burden. I mean, there he was, shackled. Imagine that. Here's some metal chains around his foot, probably tied his hands as well. And there he is, walking out in the middle of the desert. And I mean, it's been them shackles rubbing against the ankles, rubbing against the leg. I mean, the feet's getting raw. Man, the sand, not only that, but the sand starts getting real hot. I don't know if you've ever walked out in sand, hot sand like that. Maybe down here at the beach or whatever, but out there in the reservation, we know about sand. Amen. That sand, that dust blows. Matter of fact, you know what? There's certain part of the reservation where the wind is blowing a lot. And man, the sand just is always there. And we always know people that come from that part of the reservation because they always look like this. So that guy's from that part of the reservation because look, it's blowing sand all the time where he's from. But I'll tell you what, man, that sand got hot, man, and he's walking in it. Man, he's shackled as well. Man, his family didn't, his brothers gave up on him. His daddy and mama didn't know he was dead. I mean, there he was as a servant, man. I mean, of all places. Here he was, the favorite in the family. He was babied. He'd probably a brat in the family. He was. Amen. Wasn't he not? His brother's out there herding sheep, but he wasn't there. Where was he? He was there. He was being kept at home. His dad was he's favoring him. So he was a brat at the house. Now, help me out here, because I know a bunch of you are brats. Amen. My kids especially. Amen. My daughter, amen, over here, Tara, Doris, I mean, they're brats. Amen. Partly my fault. Amen. Some of you right now, you're brats because you ain't no hard anything. Everything was given to you. Mom and dad worked hard to so you could have what you, man, have some things in your life. That's what he was. Now he's a servant. He's a slave. From a brat to a slave. You know that was different life. Amen. Not only that, but man, I talk about the sun started getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Man, I mean, out here the sun does get hot and I understand the humidity. It's totally different from where we're from, but man, that humidity does mess you up, and it gets suffocating sometimes. But not where we're at, man. We had, Jonathan had that camp out down in the canyon there. Man, it was like 104, 105 that day down in the canyon. And I tell you what, man, after a while, that sun burns. Man, you want to put the long sleeve on, you want to find some shade. Well, what was he out there? He was out and all that out there, but you know what he did? Just kept walking. Brother and sister, I want to encourage you this morning. You know what you need to do in your life? Just keep walking. Amen. You say, how far? I don't know how far. Just keep walking. Amen. You say, man, preacher, I got all these excuses and I got all these reasons. And I know we all do. All of us could give excuses. All of us could give legitimate reasons why we should just give up, get out of church, go do something else. I want to encourage you, man, don't do it. Just keep walking. When I pastored, I kind of sympathized and empathized with the people. I mean, there were certain people that came to church that had hard times. And because of their hard times, I looked at them and I thought, man, if they ever quit, I understand. It don't make it right. It don't make it right for them to get out of church, give up. But I understand because of what they're dealing with, what they're living with. And I said, okay, if they miss here and there, I understand that. I know why, because of what they're dealing with. Well, you know what? I always appreciate it. Man, the ones that always had the hardest of time of it, the ones that, the Navajos that struggle, man, with gas money, struggle to pay their bills, struggle as a single parent, struggle as a heart. They were the ones that were there every Sunday. They were the ones there every Sunday night. They were there every service. They were the ones giving. They were the ones always involved. And every time I saw that, I said, man, they got excuse, but they just keep walking. You might have excuse. You might have reason. You might have, man, you might have the best reason not to come. But I will encourage you, just keep walking. Let me give you a few reasons why I want to encourage just to keep walking. Number one, you need to keep walking because of who's watching and who's depending on you. That Bible says right there, he said he sent a man before them. You know why? Because he had a family. Bible says that Israel came into Egypt. Reason why Israel was able to come into Egypt, reason why Israel was able to come and be taken care of during those years of famine, but because before that ever happened, Joseph was there already. You know what I see right there? Somebody was depending on him. Brother and sister, this morning you need to keep walking. You know why? Because there's people watching you and they're depending on you. The Bible says, no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. Ain't not a one of us here this morning that could just get out and not affect somebody. I mean, you husbands, you'll affect a wife. You wives, you'll affect a husband. You children, you'll affect your parents. You parents, you'll affect your kids. You'll affect your neighbors. You'll affect your preacher. You'll affect some church members. Somebody will be bothered that you're not there. Brother, sister, just keep walking. You say, why? Somebody's watching. Somebody's depending on you. Somebody needs you to keep going. Somebody needs you to keep preaching. Somebody needs your prayers. Somebody needs your money. Somebody needs you to serve God. Just keep walking. Somebody's depending on you. I mean, there's reason why we gotta go on because there's people behind us. And we're helping carry their burdens. We're helping carry their loads. As a man of God, we help carry the load, man, with preachers. We help carry the load with the people of God. They give us their burdens. We pray. We help them go. We say, we don't want you giving up. We'll help carry your load a while. Just keep walking. There's people out there depending on you. Every time I think about, man, I can do something else, I go over here and look at my daughters. Get up in the morning, watch them before they wake up. So there's a reason why I got to keep walking. They're right there. They're looking at their daddy and say, you know what? Our daddy keeps faithful to God. Our daddy's still serving. Our daddy's doing that. I got to go. Why? Because of them. Some of you tonight, you need to realize that you have some influence. You have some pull in somebody's life. The only reason they're here this morning, the only reason they're here in this church, because of you. They may not be strong enough, spiritual enough. They may not have enough conviction to come on their own, but they'll come because you do. They'll stand, they'll be faithful because of you. You need to keep walking because of them. You want to know why a lot of these churches and Christians and people are giving up? Because there's people in there that should keep walking. They don't. Amen. The generation we live in getting selfish. Me, myself, and I. And I'm going to do this for myself. And I'm going to do that for myself. I need time out. I need this for myself. For myself. For myself. Somebody depending on you. Said, I'm tired. Yeah, I know. I know the sun is hot. I know the sand is burning. I know there's shackles on your feet. I know, man, that it seems like a long ways. I know you feel like no one cares about you, but you gotta keep walking. Somebody's depending on you. Somebody, man, has said, you are going. That's why I'm going. So, oh, they should be grown up by now. They should know better. Yeah, I know they should, but they don't. Amen. Preachers always said, well, they should know better. They should grow up. I know that, but they don't. That's why we keep going. Some are watching and depending on us. There's some watching, man, because they want us to fail. Amen. Because those that want us to fail, I think we ought to keep walking. You know why? It irritates them. That's why. Amen. Some of you now, you just make up your mind, be faithful to God, just keep walking. Why? Because it irritates somebody. Somebody don't like it. The Bible says about, what's his name over there? Nehemiah, when he went back over there to the land there, and the Bible says about Sambalat, it says it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. The very fact Nehemiah showed up, Sambalat sat there like, why is he here? Kind of remind me of Pale Rider. It's all your heathen. You watch TV. Yeah, just like you. Amen. But I like Clint Eastwood. Man, I remember that Pale Rider. He come into town and, man, helped clean up that mining camp, that whole town. Then that guy, the hood, he goes over there and hires this outside gunman. He brings in his guys. Come in. And he says, tell me, what's wrong? He goes, man, I had this town. He says, I sure had them buffaloed until that preacher came into town. To me, that's one of my favorite lines there. I had him buffaloed till the preacher came. I said, yeah, amen. The devil had a lot of people buffaloed till some preacher came. Amen. Man, the devil had a lot of you buffaloed here in Birmingham till the man of God came. Amen. A lot of you here tonight, amen, a lot of it, that we were buffaloed by sin. But you know what? The man of God came by our way. You need to keep walking. Somebody's watching. Somebody's depending on you. Somebody's being irritated by it. Amen. Irritate them. You ain't dead yet? No, I'm going to stay alive just as long as I can to bother you. I don't like your style of preaching. Good, I'm going to do it this way just to irritate you. Amen. I don't like how you dress. Yeah, I know. We're just going to do it to irritate you. Amen. I don't like your shout. That's all right. I'm going to do it to irritate you. Amen. I don't want to be involved in anything the devil ain't mad at. Amen. We need to keep walking. You know why? Because somebody's watching. Somebody's depending on us. Somebody's being irritated by us. Amen. Somebody needs an example to follow. Amen. We need to show some of this generation. They keep telling us to do it, man. I travel with Brother Mark a lot, and he keeps preaching that message, and it still fires me every time I hear it. Man, who's going to fill their shoes? So we are. We may not be what they were, but man, we're going to try. We're going to put on their boots. We're going to preach their messages. Amen. Man, we're going to pick up their convictions. Man, we're going to be against whatever they were against. Amen. We're going to sing the songs, man, that they sung. Man, the way they worship, we want that. Amen. We need to just keep walking. You know what? Show our generation, man. Show our generation that, you know what? Technology is not necessary. Show our technology. You don't need a tablet and an iPad. You need a Bible. For the PowerPoint of the cross. No, it ain't the PowerPoint of the cross. For the iPad of the cross. No, it ain't the iPad of the cross. It's the preaching of the cross. Amen. The Bible says Moses broke his tablet. Amen. We probably get a good idea to do that. It irritates me, preachers that use tablets like that. I keep hoping that one day it goes out on them in the middle of a sermon. Hold on. They start hunting a place to plug in. I hope the amen. They wake up like Pharaoh. The thing is gone from me. Yeah, they wake up. We're going to carry that old-fashioned way. Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to tweet, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to set up a... No, we're not. Amen. So, oh, we're going to use all this for the glory of God, these little things. I said, no, we're not. I ain't going to try to lie. If I was on it, I'd probably be messing around with everybody. Amen. I'd be sending them stuff they shouldn't be seeing, hearing, whatnot. That I would really just be problem on that. Amen. You admit that? Yeah, you won't, but I will. Amen. Yes, that's why I don't have it. Yes, sir. Now, how'd I end up there? We're supposed to keep walking because of what we're... Who's watching? Who's depending on us? You know why I need to keep walking? Because it's God's will for you to keep walking. Says there, he sent a man. Joseph didn't know. But God said, I'm sending you ahead. Lord, I want to go first class. He said, nah, you can go the bottom. You can go with the cargo. Really, Lord? Come on, Lord, I want to sit in first class. Him and I, we fly to the Philippines a lot. Man, we keep wishing for the day we're sitting there in first class. Amen. Amen. We buy out seats, whoever's sitting between us, so we can have at least that, you know. I said, Lord, I want to go do the work first class. He said, no, you need to sit with everybody else back there. And I'm like, okay. What's back there in the back? Amen. You know what? God's will for your life. You know what he wants? Just keep walking. See, Joseph didn't know that's what God had for him. He figured that, man, I'm going to get there this way. No, he was already at a young teenager saying, they're going to bow down to me. All your sheep's going to bow down. All you guys, he was at a young age saying that. God said, nope. You need to keep walking. But the way you're going to get there, probably you might not like, but we'll get you there. Amen. You know, there'll be some things in your life you ain't just got a clue why they're that way. But that's just part of God's way of getting you there. Lord, I want the... You know what we all want? We want... Human nature wants the perfect situation. Had the money, had the looks, had the personality, have everything just right and fall into place, and man, I can do the work of God. You know what it is? Nope. You'll never do the will of God and the work of God in the perfect conditions under the perfect circumstances. George Mueller, I think, was the one that said about how that he said troubles, trials, heartaches. He said even failures, he said, are part of the plan of God for your life because they are the food of faith. That's what builds faith. If everything was perfect in your life, you'd have no faith. There'd be things you just don't understand. Why is this that way? And we could ask God, and God may even tell us. But you know what? A lot of times I found out, even when I do know, it still don't help. Yeah, notice that? When you do find out, yeah, man, you're like, oh, okay. But that didn't help me. It didn't help me anyway. Even though I know us men, we thirst for that logic and that knowledge. Why is this situation? Let me analyze it. And you go all angles. You get Freudian on it. Man, you put it all the categories. People are this. People are that. Blah, blah, blah. Then at the end, you understand. And you're like, that still don't make sense. I'm still not happy with that explanation. That's why some of you don't need to worry about that kind of stuff. You worry about what you don't understand? Just go on anyway. Just keep walking. Lord, I'm supposed to be, man. There she's supposed to bow down to me. Lord, I'm supposed to be this. I'm the friend. My dad, how come they did? Just keep walking. Not everything's going to work out the way you want it. Man, they're singing that song about our anchor holes. Amen. Because some things do not go the way you intended it to. Down the road, you look, man, this is what I want it to be like this, but it doesn't end up that way. These things just fall apart. They get broken. They don't get fixed. What do? Just keep walking. It's God's made no provision for you to quit. He's no provision for you to turn around. He's made provision for rest. Amen. Come you apart and rest a while. He's made provision for rest in your life. But He didn't make provision for you to quit. He didn't say, just give up what you're doing and go do something else. That looks pretty good, huh? He didn't make no provision for you to turn back. He made no provision for them to return to Egypt. He made no provision for you to say, you know what? When you get in the Canaan land, if you don't like it, just come back out on the other side. When the sun's too hot, just go ahead and walk a while. You know, Joseph, you know, them shackles hurting, just go ahead and take it out a while. And then after a while, when your feet heal, we'll put it back on. Joseph, you know, is it hot? Why don't you get on this camel a little while? Let it carry you and we'll hold some leaf over you and get you down there. There's no provision. There's provision for rest. There's provision for restoration. If you've gone astray, bring you back, put you where you need to be. Amen. There's provision for that. Rest and restoration. There's provision, but there's no provision for it. Well, I just can't do that. I know how many times this heart of mine has said, we can't do that. And for some reason, we just, well, just take another step. Let's walk on. I don't know how, but we just do it. I don't know why, but we just do it. Just keep walking because of the work that needs to be done. There's still souls that need to be saved. Churches and Christians need help. Mission work to be done. People, man, it just, water ain't nothing. There's plenty to do in the work of God. Just keeping American Christianity afloat, that's a lot of work. Just promoting old-time Christianity is a lot of work. Amen. They don't want old-time Christianity. They want to adapt everything modern as much as they can. I'm not for or against technology, but I'll tell you what. When it's taking the place of your brain, and it's taking the place of your worship of God, you need to probably get rid of a lot of that. It bothers me when they do that. Well, I'll just send this through to you to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, what's the matter with sitting down writing a letter just doing that way? What's wrong with picking up a phone calling you? What's wrong with just going to see you in person? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with picking up a songbook and following everybody else? I need a ball on the wall. I don't. Hold on. What did he say? I need my little tab and my little finger to get me there. What's wrong with handwriting? Mine is so sloppy. Mine is too. I'm trying to figure out what I wrote right here too. But there's plenty of work to be done. But Mark and I, we sure enjoy going to the Philippines, man. There's a lot of work to do that way. Now we like it. Who are you going over there to work with? Nobody. Nobody you know, guaranteed. Because everybody asks, who's the guy? Nobody. You don't know them. Don't worry about it. Just people, we somehow, oh, God opened the door, we went. You know, I appreciate, I like Brother Mark. I appreciate him about learning Tagalog. He's fun. I'll sit there in the house, and all of a sudden I'll hear these sounds. Hey, buddy, what you doing? Sitting there with the little earphone on, that thing sitting. You can tell when he gets frustrated. He takes it off and closes it, and he... You know, I know, I appreciate it. He'll get up there and he'll use that to God. Man, people just love it, man. They love him for it. Amen. Amen. Malaki, lalaki. Amen. What? There's plenty of work to be done. You young people, you ever thought you could learn a foreign language to minister to some people like that? Well, I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. You never know. You'd be amazed how many few phrases you can learn, and man, them people will just eat it up because you learned a phrase. They're tickled to death you tried to learn. And then they'll come help you. They'll write it down for you, and man, you have a blast.
Amen.
Amen. You got to keep walking only because the work needs to be done. You need to keep walking because you can't waste the investment that's been put into you. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, has invested a lot in us. He gave us His Son. Amen. He invested His Son, His blood, His death, the burial and resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, in you and I. You need to keep walking. Why? That's been invested in us. We brag about how great the value is of Jesus Christ dying for us. But you ever realize it was for you? That's an investment in something. I kind of think God does probably expect a return. You good man? You giving Him a return? Has it been a wise investment in you? Amen. Or is He losing money on you? You creating deficit in the body of Christ. Some of you, like Bridger said, some of you taking our air. Now you're taking resource we need. Amen. Man, if you can't be faithful, man, just send all your money to us. We'll use it for the work of God. Yeah, amen. $50,000. We can buy some property. We can finish up some buildings we need to build for this camp over there. TooLongMinistries.net. TU-LONG.net. Salamat po. Thank you. For whatever you're going to give. That's our commercial right there. You can't be faithful to church, put in there right there. Don't be creating a deficit. Make up for it somewhere. Amen. You can be rebellious all your life. Get a good job and send to me and Brother Mark so we can do work in the Philippines. Just get a good trade where you're making 60, 80, 100 grand a year. Just send it to us. We'll do something with it. Send back. Make sure you send some back to Brother Buddy too, because he needs it too. Man, not only the Lord's invested in us, our parents have invested in us. Every chance I get, tell my mom and dad I love them. Man, I thank God for my dad. As far as I'm concerned, the best man I know. The best man. Just man. Amen. I wish I was, man, more like him, a lot of ways. Every day I kick myself. How come I didn't learn that? How come I didn't? Amen. My mom, man, been there with my dad all this time. I appreciate that. I thank God for my mom and dad. Still alive, still plugging away out there. They've invested in a lot, this young man here. They're whoopings, amen. They invested in me some whoopings. They help, amen, somewhat. Amen, they help somewhat. They only invested that. They invested, man, a lot of their love, their compassion. I thank God for that. And I can't waste that investment they put in me. You young men, young ladies, God, you're not only God, but your mom and dad has invested something in you. You're carrying the family name. I'm the last of his Calvin son. So it's on terror now. Hey, man, we need some Calvin. We care on the name. But I'll tell you what here. We're carrying on a name that means something. Amen. You ever look up Navajo genealogy and look up Calvin? We're the only ones. We're it. So if they say Calvin, Navajo, it's us. Tell you what, man, that's investment there. I got to keep it up. All of my parents, but I'll tell you what, preachers have invested in us. The man of God, Brother Charlie. Man. Hey, amen. You might as well tell them now. Thank God. Thank you, Brother Charlie, all the time you invested in me. As a young preacher, you put out a lot of my foolishness. Amen. I don't think I ever preached over time like Brother Greg did yesterday, but I sure did be faithful. He told me 40. I said, I'll stick to that, Brother Charlie. I appreciate all the time he's put in me, prayed for me, took me to meetings. Said, Brother Terrence, come on. And I mean, the times he had to chew me out for things, times he had to pick me up and pick up the phone and say, hey, this ain't right here. Amen. He invested some time and he prayed over me many times. Thank God for that. Here at this meeting, the old man of God, Brother Jack Wood, prayed over me. I remember him sitting over there. I was sitting over here, like second, third row. And first time I met Brother Coley. And I heard Brother Wood, never saw him. I always heard his name. I remember him right there. I remember, man, I remember he came to me after church. He said, are you Indian? I said, yeah. He said, come here. So we went, we traded cowboy and Indian story for man for about a good hour. And somehow I had a blast. I didn't even know it was him. Because if I knew it was him, I'd have behaved myself. I would have. I mean, this is Brother Jack Wood. I mean, this. I go home, stay with Brother Graham, Miss Diane. Brother Graham said, man, how do you like Brother Wood? I said, where was he? He's talking to him over there. Man, that was him. Man, something happened to me. I felt, oh, man. You don't get too common and familiar with the man of God like that. And I was thinking, oh, man, just what am I doing? Then I remember he preached one night, and it got on, and I crawled over there, and I said, man, will you pray for me? I remember he put his hand on me. Man of God's invested something in us. I remember at our camp meeting, a certain preacher from Washington State who, oh, Brother Laney knows him. He'd gone off, done his own thing now, and he's in Colorado. We said his name. Some of you would have mixed feelings about him, but I remember one night just praying over here at our camp meeting. I was praying, Lord, use me, do something to me. I remember all of a sudden just somebody put their hand on me. I said, oh, Lord, you've done things in my life for me, and he began to pray, and I'd recognize his voice, and I'd just sitting there, and he said, Lord, we had a good time, Lord. Whatever you've done with me, put on this young man. Lord God, use him the way you've done for me. And I sat there and looked, good night. What is that? Men of God have invested something in us. You know why we have to keep walking when we don't like it, don't want to? These men of God invested something in us. They put something in us, then we have to carry on. It's our responsibility. Oh, Lord, yeah, I know, man, it's going to be. Man, I think the holier, the harder. It will be. Man, we've got to carry it. But we're going to go on, man. Amen. You know why we need to, last of all, you know why we need to keep walking? Because of what's waiting up ahead. You know what the verse says there? It says, until the time that the word of the Lord tried him. It says, until that time. God promoted him. There was a time for him. Let me ask you something here. Are you keep walking or are you going to give up? Amen. Do you know what's waiting up ahead? Do you know, man, I mean, there's a lot waiting up ahead, man. Amen. Man, heaven, the Lord himself. I don't know about you, but that just stirs me up, man. I don't know. I just closed, I guess, one of my favorite stories. Dad told a Navajo story, so one of my favorite Navajo stories. You know, it's about the Navajo long walk. The Navajo long walk, man, they rounded up all the Navajos. They rounded up all the now the U.S. Cavalry, rounded it up and started marching them to different forts on the reservation. Fort Defiance, Fort Wingate. They round them up and take them because they wanted to ship them away, far away, to the other side of the state of New Mexico. Take them all away from their land because of whatever they found there, whatever they wanted. They just couldn't handle the Indians being the heirs. So round them and take them out. A lot of them Indians were taken there and they were force marched. Force march. It's roughly about 300 miles, 320, 340 miles force march to eastward to a place there in south of Santa Rosa, a place called Fort Sumner. They rounded them up, took them there. A lot of them died along the way. A lot of them, they were raided by the Hispanic and Mexicans. That's why there's no love lost between Navajos and Mexicans. We don't get along. Same color skin, but we just don't like each other. They stole our kids, so we went back, returned the favor. Amen. So they did a lot of that. There was just no love lost there. And they had them kind of attacks. They had men they got to the fort. Man, a lot of them started freezing. A lot of them started dying out there. They'd send them rations, army rations. A lot of army rations would be old. They'd be rotten. Navajo learned coffee there, learned some other things, make some other different kind of food there to survive. And man, that's the way they were treating. This is your new land. Brought them to a valley over there. So you guys have learned how to plant. They tried to grow corn there, but it's full of alkali. Nothing grew. They struggled through that. Now finally, somewhere, man, somebody talked to the governor, and the governor finally said, you know what, this is a failed thing, just let them go. The Navajo started heading back. You know what, by that time, you broke a lot of their spirit. By that time, a lot of them just like, this is what we're doomed to. This is what we live. That's it. Now, I don't know about, I think y'all country folk are kind of like us brown-skinned people. You country folk, there's an attachment to you, to your land. You fight for your land. You know, this is where my family was raised. This is you. There's some attachment to you that you have. City folk don't understand that. You live in the city, you don't have no attachment to whatever. Just, there's our town, and you just, city folk think different. But country folk and brown-skinned people, there's attachment to the land. This is where we lived. This is what we fought for. This is where I buried my loved one. This is something to me. So where they were away from that, giving up hope, ever seeing it again, they started being marching them westward. Man, a lot of them just said, man, that's too far. There's no sense in going back. We can't make that trick. Man, we died. People were already weak. They're demoralized. But then there's certain men there that kind of try to encourage the rest of them. And they would tell them, say, hey, let's keep walking. The Navajo phrase, unas, just keep walking. They would say, oh, ani, nkitnes gay. So, yeah, I know, your feet hurt. Unas. Mother would come, diash, where? Oh, kitne, let's just keep walking. Someone will get tired and say, huh? On Zadla! He said, it's too far. Oh, on us. So, I don't know, man. Are we going to make it? On us. Let's keep walking. Man, they start getting close. There's some of them Navajos that didn't give up. They didn't give up. They didn't give in. They didn't do nothing. They fought to the very bitter end. They heard their people are coming back. You know what? They come one day, man, all these horses came up. Man, horses coming down the road. And a lot of them just right there said, be the U.S. government, man. Here we go. They're coming to get us, kill us out here. They just let us go so they could kill us out here. And then all of a sudden, they started recognizing what they were carrying. And Navajo's not, feathers not a big thing. So all of you that talk about headdress and all that, don't come talk to me about headdress because Navajos don't do that. Different ending. Like some of you don't like to be called white trash, okay? Don't go there with us. All right? Don't go there with us. We didn't wear feathers. You know what they recognize? They recognize the colors. They recognize the blankets. They recognize this. Oh, so bring in this. All of a sudden, the horses came. He said, man, we heard you coming back. Man, he met them, lifted them up, put them on there, and started taking them back, man. And all the men said, Dishnila. See, I told you. Man, they got home. They saw the rocks. They saw all the landmarks of home. Brother and sister, just keep walking. You know why? You see the landmarks, don't you? And all these preachers got up and said, man, you know what? Jesus is coming. I can tell. This is happening. Yeah, can't you see the landmarks in society? Can't you see the things? This cannot go any further. It's reaching an apex. It's reaching the top. It said this is as far as time can go. This is as far as history can go until God intervenes. I'm telling you what, just keep walking. Man, there's something waiting ahead for you and I. And one day our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, going to come right, come get you and I. On us. Just keep walking. Who's going to go with me? My generation. Who's going to go with me? Who's going to preach the way they preached? Who's going to carry the banners they carried? Who's going to wear their shoes? Who's going to stand for what they stood for? Who's going to promote this? Come on. Let's go. Let's keep walking.